Portland's favorite morning roast.
Who was the second hottest golden girl? Oh, you want to rank the hot golden girls?
It's time for your sunrise guys.
If Blanche is number one,
was she the first TV cougar?
Ooh.
Andy Dirk Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
You're going to say Estelle. You're going to surprise me, and I'm not going to judge you. Estelle seems like she was probably wild.
Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back in. It is the final hour of the solo journey for me this week. Yes, indeed. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. What we like to call the Fan Sports Network. A lot of sports sandwiching stuff today. Could have kept going on the Giannis thing, I think, but we've also talked a lot about it, so I wanted to talk some football. Wanted to break it up a little bit. We'll get into some interesting things. We'll Sprague the Line at the bottom of the hour. If you want to send in Sprague the Line sponsors at 503-864-6326. We got a busy little sports weekend locally here. I'm quite looking forward to it. Starts at noon. We got Oregon State and Washington State, and then Oregon and Yale will play in the Eugene Regional. We all are hoping, fingers crossed, we get an Oregon State for all the marbles. You know, who's going to stay? Who's going to go to the Super Regionals? We're hoping that happens down in Eugene. And it is Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark Mania Weekend, which begins tonight with the Atlanta Dream in town. And then tomorrow, Caitlin Clark is coming up from the Bay, where she played like doo-doo. And we'll see if she can rebound, because the Portland Fire are red hot and rolling. So to kind of talk about all sports things, including that big weekend at the Moda Center, is our good friend, the sports director. For the first time, let's introduce him properly. The sports director, not just a TV host anymore, but also a great host on the new and improved, the Rose City Sportsnet. Our guy, Nick Krupke. How are we doing, Krupke?
Good morning, Sprager.
Oh, it's nice to hear your voice, man. How you been? You've been so busy. You're always on my television now.
Yeah, we're just kind of all over the map, you know. I'm just bummed that the dirt guy isn't there.
Yeah, the dirt man can, you know. I mean, look, I got a solo gig for 2 days. We'll be okay without him. I would argue it's going to be a better conversation without him. How do you like that?
Potentially, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Billy, big weekend, man. A little baseball down south, bunch of hoops, some soccer. Let's do it.
How are you feeling? I'm curious, because I've been watching the Fire games. They have surprised, yeah, as you've noted along the way on the broadcast, and I've really enjoyed the coverage, man. What's it been like to be around a team that, you know, it's early, but kind of getting to a point where this is going to be real to a lot of people, where they've been kind of the surprise story of the WNBA?
You know, I think we all sat through either the expansion draft or the college draft and, like, a lack of free agents, and, like, this is going to be a long year, and it still might. It's only 8 games in. But the fact that they got a winning record right now, if the playoffs started today, they'd be in the dang thing, mm-hmm, right? 5-3. Yeah, they got New York a couple times. They're not quite right yet. It doesn't even matter, okay? They just, like, it's a team that plays with joy, and it's a bunch of players that were, like, the fourth, fifth, sixth option, and nobody's needed to be like the stud. I know it's Bridget Carleton, but she doesn't even need to be like the dude, right? If we're using that kind of phrase, like, everybody who plays is scoring. I mean, you get all 10 scoring. You've got maybe 5 in double figures. 3 of those are coming off the bench. Just like a bunch of bit part players that, like, this is such a huge opportunity for them to be more than what they've been in the past. And so far, so good, man. And we'll see. Now, look, it's different tonight. We'll see what they look like against the first place Atlanta Dream. Okay, we'll see what they look like tomorrow. They got smoked by Indiana, of course, last week on the road without Caitlin playing. So if she does play tomorrow, these are really good tests to see what maybe where they fall in line. But, hey, you know this. The fire pit is going to be ripping, man. If you haven't been, what a fun new adventure to go check it out.
Yeah, when she missed the first game, we were bummed to tune in and not see her. And then the WNBA was like, yo, you can't be missing games. You're too important. And then I watched that game last night. Good game against the Valkyrie. They have a final shot with like 0.6 left. The play develops, and I'm like, oh, Aaliyah Boston, who's a good player, by the way. But like everybody in that arena was like, come on. Caitlin's got to shoot the shot. If she misses it, great, we win, but she has to shoot the shot. I think everybody kind of goes to some of these Caitlin Clark games with that kind of the hope. I'm really interested to get your thoughts as somebody really close to it, covering it pre and post, and you know, all the coverage involved in our Rose City Sportsnet. Alex Sarama is a name, and I think you and I have chatted privately off air about him because, you know, you're involved with your daughter's youth sports. I'm involved with my daughter's youth sports. And coaching basketball, as somebody that was doing it for a couple years, and then I catch wind of his book, Transforming Basketball, and I basically, it's my sports Bible. My book is so worn. It's got all these little post-it notes of pages that I wanted to remember. And then they hire him, and I'm like, oh my gosh, look at the synergy here. This guy's in my life. I'm reading his book. I thought he would be really good. The record is better, and I thought they'd ultimately lose games at the end, and now they're like the best fourth quarter team in the W. I'm kind of just curious what he's like to be around day-to-day and just watching his style of play that's very unique, very different. They're doing shoeless practices. He's a big CLA guy, and just your opinions of watching him very closely as a head coach.
Look, he's so young. He's 30 years old, all right? I mean, just a brain on him, and it just gets the sense that every single player on the team that's there now, like, there's a full buy-in. They're all, like, he creates that culture of joy in the way that they're playing. He's just such a down-to-earth, easy dude. I think he's got to be your next guest next week on the show, by the way.
I'd love to have him on.
Easy to communicate with. Mm-hmm. Open book. Open practices. You know how it is, like, going to stuff and, like, all right, come in. You watch them stretching, right, or shooting free throws. Like, he's intentionally allowing us, not the full time, but, like, a half an hour of practice, like, full go, full run, plays and whatnot.
Yeah.
It's not, like, a top state secret with how they're playing.
Yep.
It's been fun, man. And it's just and he's here for the long term, right, what they're going to build here. I know they keep saying, like, in 2 or 3 years from now, they might shock and get somewhere in the playoffs like the Valkyries did in the expansion way. We'll see how it continues. But, again, so far, so good. Yes, only 8 games in. But just the way that he does things, it's not that unique, but it is enough, and it's working right now.
I'll tell you this. I love hearing that. I know he's got a good relationship with the GM. They go back to the European days, and so, like, there's an alignment there. I also am worried because of his age, because of the way basketball is developing, because of his philosophies and how popular they are. I hope he's here for multiple seasons. I am concerned that some NBA team is going to be like, whoa, you already had a good reputation. You're coming from Cleveland. Now you're doing this in the WNBA. I'm worried about that, but I do hope you're right on this. What is the buildup? And I don't know if it's any different for you per se. I think the broadcast is going to continue to be what the broadcast is. But there's definitely a slightly different vibe here than the Connecticut Sun coming to town. When you get very popular player Angel Reese, and then you follow that up the next night with what we hope is a Caitlin Clark is playing game, there's a bit more buzz and juice, I think, involved around the fire and getting sports fans a little more amped up than a run-of-the-mill Wednesday night Connecticut Sun matchup.
Yeah, these next 2 games are national TV. I forget whether they're on tonight, tomorrow at CBS, but you know, that's what it's all about. Like, when these stars come to town, just like the NBA, when they play, like, you're buying a ticket to see your local team. You're also buying a ticket to see that big superstar come into town too. So this will be an interesting weekend to see where they land, where they fall before they go to Golden State. They'll be back on Rose City Sportsnet on Tuesday on the road again. But this has more excitement. I mean, yeah, the Sun were 1-7. They're 1-8. No Brittany Griner playing the other night as well. So that makes a big difference too. This is fun. Tune it in. Whatever it's on tonight, I couldn't even tell you where it's on tonight, but tune her in, check her out. I mean, listen, this is awesome, man. Channel flipping kind of day, right?
You get
great. The baseball, you got the Beavs, the Cougs, you got the Ducks in Yale.
Yep.
You got the Fever coming into town tomorrow. Don't forget the Thorns are home too, still playing for first place tomorrow. They got Utah at 1 o'clock. Bounce over to Moda Center for the 5 o'clock tip with the Fever and all that jazz, man. It's gonna be fun. And then hopefully Sunday is an Eugene regional championship. Ducks and Beavs. Could it be?
Where are you leaning on that one?
As far as it happening?
Yeah. Who do you think's gonna win it?
Well, I think you gotta ride the Beavs, man. Look, they're pissed. They're angry they're not playing.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I don't have to tell you that. You know that already. Look, they want nothing more than to go down there and spoil that show and win on their home turf and go down to Austin and see what can happen in the Super Regionals. They're playing with nothing to lose and everything to gain. And so they got the mighty Cougs, though, Mountain West champs Cougs today at noon. We'll see what happens there first. But it's a double elimination deal. Even if it isn't Sunday, if it goes into Monday, so case it may be. And then it's just like a bullpen game, right? How many arms do you have left? So I'm thrilled for what this weekend's going to be.
We almost are 12 minutes in, Krupke. I can't believe you took that long to mention your beloved Cougs. How does it take that long for you to not mention your Mountain West Cougs over there?
Oh, my gosh. Mountain West, you've been nice for a while. Let's all move on. I do like the fact that your Beavers have a football schedule, and you know what channel they're playing on and what time they're going to kick off, and it's May. Into May, we already know.
It's delightful, isn't it? Do you like the 24-team playoff idea, by the way? I haven't asked you that before, but do you like this super expansion of the playoff that might be happening to the sport?
I mean, I think that's inevitable. Do I like it? I don't know. Does it matter? Not really. Like, if they're getting rid of conference championship games, then it really doesn't matter. It's just an extra round, right? I don't know that my Cougs are going to be in it. Let's hope your Beavs could be in it at some point in time. I suppose a Pac-12 champ would be in that thing.
I mean, a one-loss somewhere. Pac-12 champ, I would imagine, is going to be in the Pop-Tart playoff game.
Let's market that thing right now.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We need that. We need the Pop-Tart Bowl to be a playoff game. It's too impactful for the culture of the sport to not have that Pop-Tart die after winning a home playoff game.
That's how the Bulls are going to stay alive, man. They're going to get those first-round open joints and... Let's get it on.
You are operating on probably next to no sleep given the duties over there at Rose City Sportsnet and Fox 12 and being the sports director and everything. How are you balancing having four children who are also actively involved in sports? And, oh, by the way, how much has the youth sports bill risen in the Krupke household year by year with four kids?
You know, I don't play the club game. We don't do that. We don't do the travel ball stuff. It's for some people, not for everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, recreation is still there. It still teaches. Be involved. Build your community. And that's where we're at. Okay. We got All-Stars coming up here for Willow Creek softball here. We're getting into it right now.
Oh, we got an All-Star in the household?
District tournament.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, better than her dad ever was. So.
I was going to say, probably got it from mom then, right?
Definitely got that power and pop from mom for sure. Yeah. Well, my anger to the dugout for sure.
We're looking forward to it, my man. Thank you for hopping on. I know you've been super busy, but it was nice to catch up with you. Keep crushing it, man. I really enjoy everything you guys are doing on the Rose City Sports Net. We look forward to some good Fire basketball this weekend. Have yourself a delightful weekend covering all the things, dadding it up, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Can't wait till Dirt and Sprague are on the Rose City Sports Net.
Oh, hello. Oh, my. What a dirty
Pitch
little
it.
Tease there. Okay. Well, I think you just started it. There we go. We're pitching it now. Dirt and Sprague, Rose City Sports. Give him a follow at Nick Krupke on Twitter, sports director, and doing a hell of a job on the Rose City Sports Net as they get ready for Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. Thanks, Krupke.
Love you.
All right. Love you, too. There we go. Go Cougs. Go Beavs. Look at that synergy right there. Good stuff from him. It is going to be a busy local weekend, as he notes, with the Eugene Regional, and, look, the local sports are great. I am looking forward to the back-to-back Fire, the Eugene Regional stuff. Also, let's not omit the almighty, we got a Game 7. A Game 7, the two best words in all of sport between the two best teams in the NBA Western Conference playoff picture. I'm trying to go to tonight's game. I don't know if my schedule is going to allow it. I'm trying to work that out. I'm going to miss the Caitlin Clark game, unfortunately. I definitely am going to catch a Paige Beckers game. So I'll be watching mostly the Fire on television this weekend, along with, obviously, the Eugene Regional. I think most people are in the same opinion, too. It seems like the takeaway, Krupke and Parker both picking the Beavs to win the Regional, which could be the death nail of the old mighty prediction markets. But I think we all are kind of having the takeaway. And knock on wood, if you're with me. Ducks Beavs with the real stakes of the regional is all we are after here locally. Do you know all the players? No, you might not. Do you know all the other players on the other team? No, you might not. But it doesn't matter. You turn it on. I'm watching Wake Forest and Kentucky in the studio.
Oh, I just turned on Georgia Tech.
I can't name a single player on this team.
Nah.
But it's regional baseball. You got Omaha on the line. I'm looking forward to what's happening down in Eugene.
You've got it's do or die time. And I want to see Georgia Tech. There's a lot of people picking Georgia Tech. They're the number two overall seed behind UCLA.
They won the SEC, didn't they? Didn't they beat Georgia?
The ACC.
Or the ACC. Who'd they beat?
They beat North Carolina.
I think you're right on that.
Okay.
I think you're right.
So yeah, there's a lot of people think that Georgia Tech is a wagon and could find themselves playing late into June in Omaha.
Worst case scenario for me is coming Monday, Ducks have beaten Beeve.
And lost to the Cougs or something?
No, win regional and go to super regionals.
Yeah.
And then I got to hear Hot Pants McSparky Spark over
exactly.
there brag about baseball as if he knows anything about his own team.
Yeah.
That's the worst case scenario. Yeah. We come in and we win. I'm going to be like, well, I mean, yeah.
I hope
Goss
we come
South,
in.
Man. What do you
I
want?
Actually hope we come in Monday and we're preparing for the game seven.
The do or die true game seven.
They both lost
seven.
Once.
Yeah.
You know, the team that lost in the 101-0 game, in the winner's game tomorrow, then got beat on Sunday night.
Mm.
And then we have the one game seven.
That'd be great.
Because it would, I'm going to guess, they don't like to play those too late because obviously.
I feel like those are afternoon games.
They're afternoon games.
Time.
It depends on how many there are because they'll stretch them out. So if there's three or four of them, then it could be.
The slightly later
four
one?
Or five in the afternoon that starts. If there's not many of them, it could start at like one in the afternoon.
Well, that'd be great. It'd be great Monday television for sure.
Yeah.
But a busy little weekend for us locally. The Caitlin Clark impact this weekend. As everybody descends into the Moda Center Saturday night. And I don't blame anybody for going to that game. She's only going to come here once. Hopefully she plays. She didn't play in the last matchup. And I just tell you, as somebody who's gone to some WNBA games, checking the ticket prices for Caitlin Clark game versus fill in the blank, literally anybody else, it's like double the price.
Well, and is it, Nick alluded, let me go see what.
He said it's on a national television. He wasn't sure the channel.
Let me go look real quick.
Is it USA?
I think the Sunday game might be on.
You mean the Saturday game?
Or the Saturday game on like CBS or.
Like main CBS?
Yeah, hang on.
That'd be great.
Come on. Update. Let's go.
Nah, you can't update live. When you need it to be updating live, that's usually when it goes wrong.
Saturday, May 30th. Yeah, it's on CBS at 5 o'clock.
Oh, dude, that's literally.
Caitlin Clark is playing in this game.
I know, but it's game seven of the NBA Western Conference Finals.
Got to have some counter programming.
I'm not split screening. I'll tell you that right now. One game will be on the iPad. The kiddos will be keeping an eye on the iPad. I'll be right there kind of keeping an eye on it, too. Game 7's got to be a main screen, right? Am I wrong on that?
Yeah.
The standalone Game 7 situation?
I'm actually...
You can't split screen a Game 7. I know you kind of did in your life. You Timbers did on one side, and then you came back and watched, quote-unquote, Game 7 between Dodgers and Blue Jays.
What if that is Ducks-Beavs? That's a 6 p.m. first pitch down at PK Park in the winner's bracket.
I'm split-screening Caitlin Clark and the Duck-Beave game. I hate to say this. I'm not going to be coming off as a good local supporter here. It's Wemby and the Thunder. This is like saying, are you split-screening? I know it's a different season, but like this is Allen Mahomes for me. What do you mean? It's a league MVP against who I thought was the MVP. He's 22. He's an alien. Like, it's a standalone game seven.
You need multiple screens, not split screening. You need multiple screens.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
For me, this would be, if I didn't have something I had to be at for work or whatever,
yeah,
I'd be finding a watering hole, like the best, like.
Oh, you're watering holing it up, huh?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like the comfort of controlling my situation instead of going, can I get the game on that channel?
Yeah.
I've been in that. I was just in that situation at a bar. I was like, hey, can we get that game? And he's like, yeah. 25 minutes went by. I was like, can we get that game? And he's like, oh, yeah, I totally forgot. And then he finally gave me the game. And the lady's
well,
that's
like,
that's
why you got to get there early.
I was there before the game started.
Oh, okay.
And somebody thanked me for doing it multiple times.
Yeah.
But it was a busy little bar. All right, let's Sprague the line. If you want to send in your Sprague the line sponsors at 503-864-6326. We can Sprague the line. We got game seven we can talk about. We can pick a side in the regional. I don't think it's going to be a shocking development what side I'm picking for that. Back with a little bit of Sprague the line coming up next on 105.1 The Fan.
Sprague the line.
I can't believe we're doing this. Why did you convince me to do this? Give me a second. My vibes just checked me out. I had to redo it, and then we got these, like, one login protection things.
Yeah, I know. Every time you try to get into a different...
Security!
Sprague the line.
You want to Sprague the line on this weekend's sports events, and you said you've got... Oregon-Eugene Regional?
Yes.
Here, let me read a couple real quick. Sprague the line brought to you by WWE and Sport, Texas versus Texas Tech, and Dirt versus Mr. Move the Team on the main card. That might be changed to Sprague versus Mr. Move the Team. That's a good one. Sprague the line brought to you by Mr. Move the Team. And the odds, Bill likes the nickname still being better than winning a Sprague pick. I don't think telling him the nickname and then following up with the I don't think they're moving thing, I don't think that was maybe the best sandwich recipe I could have possibly created. By the way, good correction. Death knell, not nail.
Ah.
Thank you for the correction there. That's the rose. Nip it in the butt.
Yeah, no, nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
The bud.
I still have never objected to the butt, though. Not nip it in the butt. You don't bite a butt? What are you doing? All right, what's the Eugene Regional? I'll see if I can find more sponsors.
First game
here.
Noon, ESPNU, Oregon State, Washington State, the Beavs, -298.
Wow.
That's on the money line.
Well, Doc, I went into the Doc interview more with the understanding of, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Tell me what I need to know. He alerted me there's a starting pitcher that's a little feisty, pretty good on the bump tonight for the Cougs this afternoon. Maybe that's pretty good value to bet Washington State.
Maybe you go under the 11 runs total.
Ah. See, I feel like when Oregon State gets it going, though, I went through their log.
I know.
They score
and
runs.
You heard him allude to the fact that PK Park is a hitter's park.
Dude, can we talk about that real quick? So I had heard they moved the fences in, and maybe this was said last year. Moving your fences in maybe 15 feet is...
That's significant.
That's borderline should be illegal. 15 feet? It's one thing to shave off maybe five.
5 feet, yeah.
15 is like, we're just going to hit as many bombs as possibly register here.
Yeah.
And half their line, well, half and their
roster's
different. Well,
you look at the way they've constructed their offensive lineup, you understand why.
Yeah, bunch of big dudes. That. Bunch of big dudes.
So, yeah, but the Beavs, heavy favorites.
Okay.
Over the Cougs.
What are the Ducks-Yale
the
situation
Ducks,
looking like?
-375 for the Ducks. The over-under is 11.5. I would tend to take the over. I think the Ducks hitting machine will get going. We will then see what Yale offers up. They are 30-13-1, the Yale Bulldogs.
Assuming they're only here because they won the
Ivy League champions.
Yeah. Okay. What's that value again? Say it.
-375 for the Ducks.
Yeah, Look, I know the Ducks have choked away in the regional at home before, a super regional against Oral Roberts a couple years ago. I can't pretend to know anything other than the power hitter for the Ducks and not knowing literally anything whatsoever about Yale.
Yeah.
So I would probably take – I just think that they're both going to win. But again, maybe dangerous pitcher for the Washington State Cougars.
It's always difficult. That first game, there's a lot of adrenaline.
Yep.
But, you know, it's a single game. Normally you're playing a weekend series, and so you're trying to win the series, trying to take two out of three, build up victories over time. But in a single game, and starting pitcher comes out, maybe they're a little amped up, can't find the plate. They start walking some guys. Yale gets an early weird run or two.
I know Oregon's roster's different. How do they feel if they get down early?
If you get down early, based on what happened last year, what does Woz decide to go to the pen? That's always the weird part. Do you stick with your starter? It's like, nope, we got some off. You give the offense maybe a couple innings or two to get the lead back, that sort of thing. But if you get to the fourth inning and for some reason the Ducks are behind, how short does that leash become for your starter and you start going to the pen?
Sprague line, where Sprague lives in a world that he's debating with himself if Blazers should trade for Giannis by giving up Grant and Sharp, two players with bad contracts and the Blazers don't want, plus the Bucks picks for a top 10 NBA player. Sprague always thinking if the Bucks wanted Young Hansen, that's too much. No, I'm already on the record. Make the trade. I want it. That's a great spring in line text. Also a good point. 15 feet with metal bats specifically is crazy.
Exactly.
That is. What's the odds of winning the whole regional? Like, what? How does that look?
Ooh, that I'm going to have to go search for.
Who do you think is the favorite there? Is it Oregon State?
Well, I remember we saw the odds to get to the College World Series or win the College World Series, and Oregon State was a slight favorite.
Slightly
over
better
Oregon.
Than Oregon. But so, it's a little different when you're in a team's – they haven't won. This is a good fact by Creppy at Oregon Live. I wasn't as aware as Mr. Not Following Every Detail because I can tend to forget some things. If they're not winning the national championship, I can misplace what year they lost the Super versus the regional. They haven't won a road regional since 07. I wasn't aware it was that long.
The Beavs?
Yeah.
Well, there's two factors. They hosted a bunch there for a while.
I understand that. That's a long time since they won a road regional. They're 11-12 on the road in regionals. So, not that this is a big travel day for them. It's just an interesting tidbit going into a tournament where, say what you want about how Oregon got to host a regional and what they did with their schedule, they got to the Big Ten championship. Not that that means the whole world, but UCLA is the number one team in baseball, and they pushed them and fell just short, so they get to host the whole thing. I still think a ton of Beaver fans are going to be there, though. The all-time attendance record at PK Park Swag is a Beav game. So
yes.
I think the concern down in Eugene is that Beaver fans are getting their hands on the secondary ticket market, and you're going to see a lot of orange. What is the Caitlin Clark fever fire? Do you have an early look-ahead line there? I know we have a game tonight.
Well, we have a game tonight, so I don't know if they will post. They usually don't post it just in case there's injuries.
So what's the line for the Dream?
The line tonight, it's moved down. It's come down a point. So Portland is 8.5-point dogs. It was 9.5 when the show started. On the official injury report, you have Carlton and Sarah Ashley Barker.
Are they questionable?
They're listed as questionable.
I don't know how you win the game if they don't play.
If they don't play, that's
their leading scorer and one of their best
of
role
offense
players.
That's out of there. Oblak, I believe, is out or listed as questionable too. Taya Oblak, I hope I'm saying that right.
No, I think you do have that right. And the Dream have some good players.
The Dream have,
Dana Pau is having a nice little season for herself.
Yep.
All right, well, we'll have to kind of wait and see, I guess, on the Clark game. And then game 7 line is it still Thunder -3.5?
Let's go look Thunder.
Because somebody actually texted in.
3.5.
Somebody texted this in. Let me find it here. Give me just a second. It was like, I'll be at the Fire game Saturday, NBA game 7 on my phone. You going to be able to pay attention if it's on your phone while you're at the game? I find that to be a hard balance.
I think the thing, too, is because WNBA games are 40 minutes, 4 10-minute quarters. Yeah. So it should end. If game 7 comes down to the wire, the Fire game should be over early fourth quarter, mid fourth quarter.
So maybe hop from there
to a bar.
And
I'm going to guess the TVs and the concourse will have that game on. Hmm. So you might be able to hang out a little bit, watch the end of it or something like that, or go across to Dr. Jack's if it's a, I would hope the Moda Center is thinking in that realm of we can keep people here a little bit longer.
It's been a while. Like, you have to kind of go to – you kind of have to go to a college football weekend because the Blazers – like, we know the Blazers are a big deal here and 82 games a lot, right? But, like, how often do the Blazers host a game that generates – outside of the, like, are they going to win? Are they going to break the losing streak? Are they going to extend the win streak? Like – outside of that bubble, how often do they have an opponent come to the Moda Center? We know they're going to play, and we just talk about the excitement of that player being here.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time that was? Kobe's last game? Wemby's first game?
Maybe Wemby.
Because I went to that game. That game was pretty exciting, like, just to see him run around and move. You're like, what? So, like, it doesn't happen very often where this is a really unique circumstance of having – as much as you can at this point in the sports calendar.
Was LeBron's first game as a Laker? Like,
I was at that game. There were so many media members at that game. They sat me in a section I didn't even know existed. I was eye level with Bill Walton's banner. I was like, what is this? That game was pretty nuts because that was also the Nick Stauskas game. Sauce Stauskas. He ended up having 24 in that game. So that's a good one. That's a good example, I would say, of him becoming a Laker. But you got the Eugene Regional paired with two pretty, you know, one very popular player and one is basically the face of the league. We don't get this a whole lot on our sports calendar locally here.
All right. I have gone to – so the Ducks are slight favorites to win the Eugene Regional. This is from FanDuel.
So the Beavs are higher favorites to win the title, but the Ducks are the slight favorite in the region.
Yeah, different sports books.
Yeah,
so
very odd.
I think that's more if Oregon State does get out of it, you trust them more to handle a super regional and know how the process works, maybe. Ducks are -135 for the Eugene Regional, Oregon State +145. There's some value there on the Beavs.
Yeah.
Yale is +1,200. Actually, Wazoo is a bigger dog than Yale.
Wazoo is?
+1,600.
Very interesting.
Yale is +1,200.
I'm going to kind of lean on somebody I trust. I'm going to say Doc Parker knows what he's talking about. They like being on the road.
You can get plus money on the Beavs.
Yeah. If I can get plus money on them, and I think that they're going to have a semi-home game there because I think Beaver fans are going to show up and show out with the orange, Yeah, I'll take plus money all day and just trust the process of that, I guess. All right. So good stuff. We got a game 7 ahead. We kind of buried the lead a little bit on this. We've done a lot on the Eugene Regional. I don't have much more to offer on that other than wait and see. We've got the Caitlin Clark mania out. Now we have a game 7. Dude, Wemby and the Thunder, you want to talk about excitement? This is everything you could want as a sports fan, even if you are very, at best, lukewarm of the NBA. Game 7 with defending champion and 22-year-old alien freak? That's... if you could have told me that was what it was going to be, I would have signed up. In fact, I'm pretty sure I did in our preseason picks. I took Thunder, Spurs, Western Conference Finals, but then it got here, and I took Thunder in 5. And I thought they were going to be able to do it by winning yesterday, because they would have won 4 or 5 games. But here we go. We got game 7. Wemby had a really good game 6. They got it from Dylan Harper. I you look at the Thunder. I don't know if J-Dub is going to get it going in Jalen Williams. He didn't look like somebody that could play. Played 10 minutes, had 1 point. De'Aaron Fox is limping. A.J. Mitchell has been out now with the calf injury. Very interesting and exciting, I think, matchup in sports this weekend in a game 7 between two pretty big, obvious juggernauts there between those two teams. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it. I will record that, and when I get home from the Hops game, I'm hoping to... I'll probably know what the score is.
I'm okay knowing a recorded sports score.
Yeah.
I'll still go and watch the game.
Unless it's a total dud, one of those...
Yeah,
like the
Thunder
Knicks.
Won by 20 or Spurs won by 30. Yeah, you're kind of wondering what
then
happened.
Then I'm like, okay. But if it's tight... if it was back and forth or it came down to the fourth quarter, I will go back and watch it.
Well, we know your recorded history is, you know the result, you may not watch it at all. You know, some on the internet speculate that that's the theory in the Jason Swigart house. All right, let's wrap it up. We'll do that next on 105.1, The Fan. All right, there we go, getting you ready for the weekend. Dirt and Sprague here. We should be back at full strength Monday, but I don't say that with 100% confidence. I don't know if another golf tourney is going to pop up, if he's got a flag football game scheduled. You just never know with the big D, man. You never know. Should be back to full strength on Monday and have some reaction to some of the stuff happening over the weekend. I did see some side little notes that I didn't get to today.
Oh, okay. Got a few minutes here before we sign off.
Mitchell Robinson had surgery on a pinky.
Surgery, but he is going to play right pinky finger.
It's going to be, he's going to have a little brace for it, and he is going to give it a go.
Maybe that'll help his free throw shooting.
Well, I saw the report.
It can't get worse.
Yesterday, they were doing like a whole deep dive of the timeline recovery, and I'm like, I mean, I know a pinky broken sucks to grab a ball with, but like, it's the finals. He's going to play. Why are we even doing this?
Yeah.
And then today, they're like, he's going to have a brace on. I'm like, no kidding. Mitchell Robinson's not missing the NBA finals.
Got till Wednesday.
Knicks fans, they're waiting too long. I think this is like eating at them to continue to wait. I know their team wants these two teams to beat each other up, but like we're getting produced emo Knicks songs now, and Ben Stiller's commenting on them. New York, go! It's like, okay, all right, here we go.
I haven't delved into that until we see who they're going to play.
I don't think they're... hot take. Doesn't matter. I really don't think there's an advantage one way or the other between the Thunder or the Spurs for them. If they're going to do it, they're going to have to pull off an upset. And yeah. I think they're capable of doing it because they're a little more healthy. I know Mitchell Robinson's peaky is a big deal, but like he's not really much of an offensive threat, whereas De'Aaron Fox's high ankle sprain seems to be bothering him. Jalen Williams doesn't seem to be able to play basketball. A.J. Mitchell has a calf strain that makes everybody nervous when that leg, that part of your leg gets hurt.
Yep.
Those are real injury concerns. Mitchell Robinson having his pinky braced, I don't know if that's high on the pecking order of concern, but it sounds like he is going to give it a go. A kind of a sad one to pass along. Sounds like Claude Lemieux.
Yeah.
He passed away, it was announced yesterday, and then we found out it was from suicide.
Yeah.
He carried out the torch like 3 or 4 days ago, didn't he?
Yeah, for one of the for Montreal's
playoff game.
Yes.
And there was no, I mean, that's the thing about that is like you don't know. And
yeah,
that one was, it caught a lot of people off guard.
It did.
Very sad, tragic story that popped up yesterday in regards in the hockey world of Claude Lemieux, one time great player who we just saw carry out the torch for Montreal's home playoff game.
Yep. And that'll be, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. If there's, I know CTE obviously has been a big thing for the NFL. I don't know how much with hockey that's just, been.
With that in general, I think everybody does the right thing.
As
like,
physical a style of hockey
yeah,
as you could.
Call a hotline, I think, is where people kind of go with this of like try to do the best you can to reach out to people and make sure they're doing okay. And
yeah.
Not everybody wants the attention or a conversation about that. And obviously, that's a tough conversation to have, but that I think that one caught so many people off guard, and it was just, it's a very sad story to pass along. It sounds like, did I read right the breaking news? Sinner is out? Is he out at the French Open? Did I read that correct?
Yeah. So yesterday,
yeah,
he was up two sets and led like 5-1 in the third. He was a game from advancing. It's unseasonably hot in Paris. You combine that with then playing on the clay, long matches, the five setters. He's had this before. He's had issues with body cramping. He's not a, he's a pretty slight guy, very athletic, but very slight. We've seen this before where if he gets into, all of a sudden his body just cramps up. He has heat issues. And that's what happened. And all of a sudden the guy 56th ranked in the world from Argentina, Cerundolo, comes storming back. It's been a lot of upsets. I think five of the top 10 seeds are out. Ben Shelton lost in his second round match yesterday.
Well, that's brutal.
So it's fairly wide open, and now there's a lot of, there will be a lot of sentiment for Novak Djokovic.
Oh yeah,
to try to get the record 25th
to set the record
Grand Slam.
So you got that in the tennis world, and then I saw this, and it's probably something worth more of a conversation. I need to read a little bit more about this over the weekend. We've got the salary cap proposals. Major League Baseball, they've started the conversations.
Yeah.
And the owners are showing out kind of what they want with the new CBA, and the players are countering now, and people are not feeling very encouraged right now that they're going to avoid a work stoppage. I say this, most people will side with a lot of the player stuff, and ultimately the owners, I would imagine, are going to end up getting most of what they want. I do love the salary cap floor thing. I think that's a part that I love.
The floor.
Stop with these $60 million rosters. Like,
oh, definitely.
Spend $170 million.
There's recognition there. I think the players, though, they're just, all history shows the players will not accept a cap on the maximum salaries. If there is a team,
I totally
Yankees,
get it.
Mets, Dodgers, yep, whoever, that wants to spend $750 million, and they want to sign, you know, four different guys to $400 million contracts, that there's mechanisms for them to do it.
Well, Rosenthal wrote a really interesting piece before we got any details. I thought it was fascinating. He basically said most of the owners want it because it increases the value of their franchises.
Yes, and those are the ones that aren't spending money.
Well, yeah, but then he notes in the story, like, Steve Cohen is so far negative in what he's done with the Mets so far. And look, he's super uber rich.
Yeah.
But it's like, to be dead last and to be as bad as they've been and that far down in the red, it's eye-opening to say the least. You also had Sacramento pop up as a potential expansion West Coast Bay City. I don't know how real it is. I don't know if Major League Baseball wants anything to do with Sacramento when you have San Francisco.
They've been hosting and operating a Major League team for a couple of seasons now.
But so, you know how that's going? They're dead last. They're actually not showing up to these games.
Yeah.
They're selling most of their tickets to the opposing fan bases. So even the fans in Sacramento, if we had the A's for three seasons, say what you want about the A's. Do you think we'd be dead last? I think we'd show up. We'd go to the ballpark. I don't think I'm rooting
think
for the
so.
A's, but I think we're showing up.
Yeah.
Sacramento's been terrible, at least according to the report I read yesterday about Sacramento jumping into the fray of wanting a team. They said they have the money. They've got the group. They'd either demolish the current ballpark they're playing in and build the new one, or they'd build one right next to it. But many in Sacramento are like, that would be a stupid mistake. That ballpark's like 40 minutes in traffic away from the real downtown of Sacramento. Why would you do that? So now there's a little bit of a debate of where you're going to put a stadium if it, but just to be noted for local purposes, Sacramento jumping into the West Coast fight along with Salt Lake, Vancouver, and Portland. I don't know how Vancouver works because they can't get a soccer stadium, and I know Major League Baseball is much bigger than MLS, but it's interesting. They're struggling with a stadium versus how does the baseball
I don't know if
work?
That's the current ownership of the Whitecaps wanting something, wanting their own soccer-only stadium because they play in the big dome where the CFL football team plays, too.
It's an ugly-ass stadium, too, isn't it?
So they probably want something that's outdoor, probably has some natural grass, that sort of situation.
Right, right.
But I don't know if the owner's not equipped of their own to do it versus some different group that would own baseball that maybe is more well-heeled.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We'll have to wait and see on it, but it's another West Coast-based team that is jumping in and competing against us and Salt Lake, which I still think is kind of the favorite here. They got the rest figured out, and we're still bickering about funding. If you missed any of the show, thanks for hanging out with us today. But if you missed any of the show, we had three interviews today, and we all made them feel a certain way. We had emotions running rampant. We had Mike Doc Parker, Bill Oram, Nick Krupke, and we had a delightful little time. Dirt should be back on Monday, so we'll hang out with you and talk to you about the weekend that was, the Angel Reese Caitlin Clark Mania, the Eugene Regional. We got more NFL stuff to get to. We'll probably dive a little bit into this baseball stuff, and a Game 7 on Saturday, and NBA Finals will be set come Monday. Thanks for hanging with us today and chiming in at the fan text line. We'll talk to you guys bright and early. We got the firm with Harrison Marang. That's coming up next. And Dirt and Spray, we'll see you Monday, 6 to 10 a.m. on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan.